Stay together until God comes back. Good to see all of you. It certainly is. And we're going to be in Psalm 73 this morning. Don't forget at 6 o'clock, the kids' choir practices as well. 6 o'clock this evening. So if you have a child in elementary class, they practice with Sister Dyer. So have them here at 6. Because remember, September is Missions Emphasis Month. We have 4 different missionaries who's going to be with us. The first Sunday will be Brother Chase, second Sunday, Brother Caleb. Third Sunday, we're going to have an international banquet. So be thinking about what you're going to cook. Banana pudding. just think about what you're going to cook. Sister Jadina, banana pudding. Banana pudding and fried chicken. No, it's an international banquet, and banana pudding is welcome. That's got to be international. I'm sure those bananas come from down south. sometime or another. Then we're going to have Brother Elvis Sneathan with us one of those Sundays. He's with Light in the 1040. And it just slipped my mind. Brother Kidd. Brother Kidd's going to be with us the one of those Sundays. So we're looking forward to meeting all these missionaries, and they're going to be preaching for us on Sunday morning, Sunday nights. They'll be telling us all about their field of choice, where God has called them to. And so I said all that to say Sister Dyer has some mission songs she wants to work on, so she needs your kids here. If you can get them here at 6 o'clock, that would be a big help. That will. And then Sister Lois and Sister Haley will also be working with the Beautiful Brotherhood and the youth choir some as well. So I don't know. You have to see her if they're going to practice there or not. May not. Haley's got too sick, so she won't be here for sure. But anyways, 6 o'clock choir time and prayer time. We'd love to have you join us for prayer time. We meet at right over here on this side of the church, and we just spend a little time in prayer together as a church, interceding on behalf of our friends, families, loved ones, our nation. And so come be with us and help us to reach the throne of God with needs and concerns that you might have. You say, well, I don't have any needs. Well, I tell you, God's been good, and you can come tell Him together corporately how good He's been to us. And so we invite you to join us at 6 o'clock for prayer time. Psalm 73. Here's the thought this morning. We will not be alone. We will get into the Word of God, and we will get finished real quick here. My life now and then. That's the thought. And that's actually a question in my mind. It may not sound like a question, but I guess you could say, what about my life now and then? That's two big questions people like to ask, you know. They're important questions, to be honest with you. Some of the kids were starting school Monday. Some started last week Thursday. You know, some starting in a week or so. Some college classes starting later on in the time. And all this schooling is to help us to become what we want to be. What shall I do with my life? It's a great question. It needs to have an answer to it, because we are important. We're God's children. God gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, to have everlasting life. And so He gave such a great gift because we are valuable to Him. And so you've got to think, what am I going to do with my life? And then the other question I always get is this: where will I go after life? After death, this one of the men wants to die, and after this, the judgment. You know, I pray that God will tarry my death till He sends for us in the rapture. But you know, my father died at 44. I could go tomorrow. I could go today. My brother died a couple of years ago. So death's coming. But if God tarries and allows me to stay till He raptures us out of here and call us to be with Him forever in heaven, you know, I have that answer. I got my answer settled through salvation through Jesus Christ, my Lord. And so I know where I'm going, but that's a question today. What about my life now and then? Well, this morning, as we look at Psalm 73, I hope we can get the answers from the Word of God that you're looking for. Verse 1, truly God is good. What a song they sung to go with this verse. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue against their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, His people return hither, and waters of the full cup are wrung out to them. Verse 11. And they say, how doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, there are the ungodly, who prospereth in the world. They increaseth in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my heads and hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. Verse 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Verse 21. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. I think as we read this, we'd understand that the psalmist had found the answers which I posed before I began to read the Word of God. What about my life right now? And what about my life afterwards? What about the now and the then? And his Lord would guide him was the now. And then afterward, he would be received into glory, as it says, verse 24. How can we, as the psalmist here, the Psalm of Asaph, how can we have this same assurance? First of all, we got to have a good understanding of the Word of God. The Word of God is absolute, is true. The Bible tells us, forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. The Bible tells us that heaven and earth shall pass away, but not a jot nor a tittle, not anything of the Word of God shall pass. The psalmist had assurance because he had a belief of the Word of God, that the Word of God was sure, and yea, and amen. Unfortunately, the day which we live in, it is becoming more and more of a byword. More and more of a book just to have to look like we're using it. This is a book that we should, as God's people, discern and live in and meditate in and live thereby. But many times we take it to church, we take it home, we put it in the car, we put it on the shelf, we pick it back up, bring it to church. It's more of an exercise tool for physical use than it is a spiritual tool for spiritual growth. So the psalmist, as he looked here, there's something that I did notice that helped the psalmist that I believe would help us. In verse number 22, when the psalmist was thinking of what about my life right now and what about my life in the future, I think the first thing, like the psalmist found in verse 22, and we are going to have to get to the same place, we must face our own faults. Look at verse number 22. He said, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. The psalmist said, foolishly focused upon the faults of others. I think too often, dear friend, we have too much confidence in the flesh. Too often we look at each other and we begin to measure ourselves and our spirituality and on how we look on the outside and how we feel on the outside, instead of looking to God and say, God, I want to please you. Whether present or absent from my friends, I want to be pleased, and I want to please you and be pleasing to thy sight, and I want my life to reflect Christ. And King David is The psalmist here, as we read it, we look at it, he began to understand. He said, listen, I had envy of the prosperity of the wicked. Verses 1 through 12, he began to look out and see those that were wicked and those that had seemingly no care and no concern for the things of God. Really didn't care if God existed or not existed. And it seemed as though in his mind that they was prospering in the way. And that's how it is many times, dear friend. We'll look at other families, look at this person, we'll look at this person that has this job, and we'll say, but God, I love you. God, I'm serving you. God, I'm faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. This person has this blessing that seems upon them, and there's no faithfulness at all found in them. They don't have any concern about you or the things that are important to you. And Lord, it just seems as though they're being blessed. Can you imagine King David? As he didn't choose to become king, he was chosen to become king. King David was drawn by God and sent by the man of God sent to him, poured that oil upon him, anointed him as king, and it seemed that from that point on, it just seemed everything went downhill. I mean, Saul threw javelins at him, wanted to pierce him to the wall. Saul was prospering as king, and then it got to the point as Saul moved off the scene, it seemed as though his sons began to attack him. Absalom chased him out of the kingship and chased him into the wilderness and took over as king for a short time there. And listen, it just looked as though as he was seeing and looking around at the wicked kings. He said, man, the Philistines and those of Ai and those of Palestine, those of Assyria, those kings are looking like they're being blessed. And listen, God, I just want to build you a house. And God said, no, sorry, you have blood on your hands. You can't build me a house. We're going to save that for your son. And David's looking around. He said, man, look, everybody's prospering. I don't want to ask you to show of hands. I don't want to embarrass nobody. I'll tell you, to be honestly, I've looked at other folks and I said, God, how can this be? God, I know the wildlife. They have no concern and no care for you. And then I'm brought to this point, Brother Bernie, where it says, the goodness of God brings men to repentance. And then I'm reminded that all things, Scripture reminds me, when I get that jealous eye, that envy, jealousy look upon people and seeing how they've been blessed and it seems as though their life is going pretty well and they don't have no concern. And I said, Lord, and God reminds me, says, is it yours? The earth and all that they're in is mine and I can do with it as I please. Too many times we're looking at everybody's. We're just like the workers that came and showed up in the morning and they were promised a penny. And the midday was a promise of a penny. 3 o'clock was promised a penny's worth. And at the end of the day, he still needed more. They were promising. And we're mad. Lord, what are you doing? Why are you giving them a whole penny's worth of work? We worked all day long. And he said, listen, why are you mad at me? This is mine. Can I not do with what I have as I please to do it? So many times the Holy Spirit of God reminds me, hey, all this here is the earth and everything there and the fullness thereof. It's the Father's. He can bless this one if he wants. He can bless that one if he wants. He'll throw a little blessing on you as he wants. But listen, I begin to look and I said, Lord, it just isn't right. Kind of like what the gospel says, that I need to make sure that I don't have a mote in my eye and I'm worried about a speck in somebody else's eye. King David recognized it. Or the psalmist recognized it. And he understood. Listen, let me tell you this. This is a secret that's helped me for a long time now. Prosperity means nothing when it comes to perishing. Prosperity means nothing when it comes to perishing. When death comes knocking, dear friend, it doesn't matter how much you got in the bank, how much possessions you own. Dear friend, what's going to matter is what you've done with Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. He's not going to look at your bank account, your CDs, your Roth IRAs. He's not going to look at your car, the car you drove up in. Listen, He borrowed it. Don't get a ride around on. Your car don't impress Him. What impresses Him is what you've done with His Son. What shalt thou do with Jesus? That's the important question. So don't get your mind on thinking, well, this one's prospering, this one has this, this one has this. They must be right with God. Listen, the things you have doesn't make you right with God. The things you don't have don't make you right with God. I've told you this before. I've known some real poor people that steal a nickel out your left pocket and be mad at you because you didn't have one in your right for them to steal. Being poor don't make you right with God. What makes you right with God is what you've done with Jesus. What you've done with Jesus. Now listen, have you faced your sin? David come to the point, the psalmist came to the point, he keeps saying David, because he's the writer of most of the Psalms, but here it says, top of my Bible says the Psalm of Asaph. Here, but verse 22, he says, so foolish was I, and ignorant. Ignorant means without knowledge. I was as a beast before thee. He faced his own faults. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, before you can worry about today, your life today, and worry about your future down yonder, or what's going to happen in life after death, dear friend, you've got to face who you are. Who are you in Christ? You're either alienated from God by Christ, or you're a family of God by Christ. Are you into the cross? Where are you standing? Face your own faults, dear friend. Listen, it's easy to point out this one, what this one's doing, what that was doing. We need to do some introspect, look at our own life and say, hey, how am I with God? And the psalmist said, I figured this out. I was like a beast. I was foolish. You know what the Bible says? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You know, there's many times, dear friend, we begin to look at our own self-righteousness and look at what we've done, what we've accomplished, and we leave God out the equation. Let me help you something, dear friend. There's nothing that I've done in this life good outside of the blessing and help of God. Nothing. So we've got to look at what God and look at God and realize who we are. Secondly, dear friend, we must be grateful for God and the guidance that He's offered us here upon this earth. I've never in my life been around a bunch of folks that just want to accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior and then don't want to have nothing to do with Him until eternity takes place. Well, yeah, preacher, I agree with you. I'm a wicked, awful sinner. And if you tell me what Jesus did, and He died on the cross, and He was buried, and He raised again, and the Bible says if I trust Him, and I put faith in Him, that I'll be part of the family of God, that means I'm secure in heaven, and I'm going to spend eternity in heaven, I'll accept that. But 2 days later, we can't accept Him telling us you can't do that. Hey, that there's not pleasing. Hey, you shouldn't live this way. You should be more Christ-like in this area. Wait a minute, God, that's my life. Now you're dealing with my life. Now you're talking about things that I want to do. Therefore, we've got to be grateful for the guidance of God from the time we're born again until we do step off into eternity. We've got to be grateful. The presence of God is greater than any pleasures this world has to offer. Look what he said here. He pondered verses 1 through 12, the blessings of the wicked, the prosperity of the wicked, and then all of a sudden, look what happened. Until, in verse 17, until I went in unto the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. You know, this is a picture of the presence of God. Until we get close to the presence of God and have God guide our life. Those that trust Christ, dear friend, you're never alone. You know, the Bible tells us in Matthew 28:20 that Christ is with us to the end. Always. All the way to the end. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, who can help me there? He'll never what? Leave thee nor forsake thee. I mean, you've got to be glad and thankful for the guidance that is given to us by God. We can live constantly in the knowledge of God and in His presence. We don't have to go sideways. We don't have to choose to live contrary to His Word and fight and kick against the Holy Spirit of God till we quench the Holy Spirit of God. We can live with the peace of God which passeth all understanding. That is the life that we live. You know what he says? I want you to have life. And not only life, I want you to have life abundant. Peace that passeth all understanding. We fight and we kick us out. Listen, this is my life and I can do what I want, live like I want. And yes, you can. Honestly, you can. But I tell you, dear friend, the consequence of that follows you right along the way. You need the guidance of God. I'm so thankful that I know that I'm on my way to heaven through Jesus Christ because of the Word of God and the promises of God's Word and because Jesus lives within me and I'm part of His family. But I am just as thankful that tomorrow when I pray, get on my knees or I talk to God and I say, God, I need help in this area. I need You to show me this. And Lord, I need You to give me a little bit of strength, Lord. I know that I need Your help in this area. And when that still small voice speaks to my heart and gives me guidance, dear friend, I'm just as thankful that God guides me that way as I am knowing I'm going to heaven. His presence is so precious, dear friends. Because if I keep reminding myself of who I am and I live in His presence, then I understand the end of those who are without Christ. And that's what he said here, until I went into the sanctuary of God and understood therein. You and I, we got a little bit more up on this here psalmist writer here. The Holy Spirit of God lives within us. We are His sanctuary. We are His temple. He lives within us, and we're not our own. We're bought with a price. So first thing you're going to have to understand is you're going to have to face your own faults. Quit pointing this one out, looking at that one. Then you're going to have to be grateful for the guidance of God in your life daily. Daily. Third thing, and we're closing. We must grasp the guarantee of heaven. Sometimes I think it's such a far way off that the devil tricks us into thinking, well, you know, it's so far out there. I mean, it's so way out there. You see what the psalmist said here in verse number 24? Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. He was thankful for the daily guidance. And this is what he said. And afterward, receive me to glory. C.A. Spurgeon said this, we can cheerfully put up with the present when we foresee the future and know that it is bright. There's a verse of the Bible just popped into my mind. For this present suffering before a moment. What verse is that? Somebody help me. Don't get on Google and see who's playing football tonight. Get on that phone and use it for something godly. This present suffering. Oh, where's that verse? Come on, Bible students, help me. 2 Corinthians 4. Oh, Lord. You got it, Brother Josh? No, I got it. Oh. Ooh. Holy Spirit of God's moving. 2 Corinthians 4, what page, Brother James? What number?
2 Corinthians 4:17.
2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. Well, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The psalmist said, listen, all that I'm going through down here, all that the Lord guides, listen, sometimes we want God to guide us from A to B. And A to B is very important. But sometimes there's a valley that God gets us down in. Sometimes there's a mountaintop that God gets us down in. Sometimes there's an obstacle that the Holy Spirit of God has to lead us around and guides us there. And sometimes, let me tell you, dear friend, the track is a little bit difficult. It's not always smooth. It's not always easy. There's not always, like in big airports where you're running through the airport, they drop you off on C terminal, and you got to be over in X terminal to catch your next flight. You got 40 minutes to get there, and they got these escalators in the middle of a flat place, and you get on, and it helps you get down there real quick. Listen, not a lot of times it's like that with God. Listen, sometimes there's that time that he does take us by the hand and say, hey, let's move on. He puts us up there and he carries us and gets us going. But a lot of times, this scripture, I'll tell you, life is just simply difficult. Jesus Christ said, listen, foxes have holes. I don't have them. I don't even have a home. Life's not always easy in the Christian church. Matter of fact, he put it like this. He said, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So it's going to be a little difficult. I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be a little bit more difficult to take that second mile. That second mile of Christianity, that first mile is something. But that second mile of Christianity, it's a little more difficult. Going that extra, doing that extra there. But the psalmist, he said, listen, thou shalt guide me in thy counsel and afterward. What a blessed word. Well, this is just for a moment, dear friend. I mean, you might be here 80, 90, 100 years old. You know, I don't know how old you are. But that's just a moment when it comes. But afterward, all that you're going through now does not compare to heaven and all its glory. Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. The way. He'll take you by the way and lead you through the way. The way to heaven is through Him. But a daily walk is a way of life. Some of us, we've got to get to the point where we're not putting on and taking off Christ. We should be putting off the old man and putting on Christ. But we're too often putting off Christ, putting on Christ, putting off Christ, putting on Christ. What we want is a cloak to cover our sin instead of a relationship to get us through life and through the difficulties of life, that when we do get to that point where the afterwards, oh, dear friend, my life, now and then, I want to know who I am in God and where I stand. I want to face my faults. I want to own them. How many of you agree when we live in a society that nobody wants self-responsibility? It's everybody else's fault. Everybody else's fault. Everybody else. It's 45 mile an hour speed limit out there, and you're going 95 mile an hour. It's the lawmaker's fault because you went 95. Well, if they hadn't made a car that went 95, I wouldn't have been going 95. Is everybody else listening? We got to look at our own life and say, hey, it's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. And then I want to align my life with God's guidance daily. Not just now and again. I need to be, I must be grateful for God's guidance daily. Doesn't he say in the Bible, he says, listen, he'll guide us with his eyes. How are you going to look, how are you going to get guidance if you're not looking into the face of God? Well, he's just too far off. Oh, dear friend, the face of God. Oh, when we look in there, we can see God. The face of God. If you want guidance, you've got to look into the eyes of God, the mind of God. You've got to see what He desires and wants and wants to work through you. And then you've got to grasp this. You might have a bad day. You might have a bad month. You might have a bad year. But afterwards, when you're received up in glory. How many of you have ever read the story of Stephen? We're closing. Stephen in the book of Acts. Stephen was a man full of the Holy Ghost. Loved God, loved people, preached, served God, stood out there one day and began to proclaim the things of God. And the Bible says those around him ran upon him to bite and gnash upon him. Listen, I have never, in the years I've been preaching, nobody has run up on here and tried to gnaw up my leg. Nobody has tried to bite him. Then when the bite wouldn't shut him up, they took stones and began to stone him. Do you know what he said? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The Bible says this about Stephen. And he said, I see my Redeemer standing. That's the act. None of us have gone through that much difficulty in life. I mean, your boss may have made you work, 4 12s. and you really didn't want to work for 12. But he didn't bite on you. Your wife may have wanted you to pick up some laundry, but she didn't come there and throw stones at you. Listen, your children may have been a little disrespectful, but they didn't throw rocks back at you. We will get through this if we keep focused on after. Our problem is we live in the problem. And the problem overwhelms us. We live in the saturation of humanity is all around us. Everything is about the me and me and me. And we live in a way that this world affects us so much. And we forget that we're not of this world. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims here. And we let our heart get troubled. We forget about verses where God wrote down in John 14, says, you believe in God, believe also in me. Don't let your heart be troubled. Why? Because afterwards. Let me tell you this. If you find a person who calls themselves a person of God, a man of God, a student of the Bible, and they try to tell you that 100% all day long, every day, all day long, 365 days a year, that your life is going to be a bed of roses, they are lying to you. Amen. All they won't do is make you feel good, so you'll give more in the offering. Just to be honest with you, that's the way it works. They want to make you feel good. So when you feel good about yourself, say, well, I like what he said. So I'm going to give a little extra so I can get a little more. Listen, don't work like that. Don't work that. The Bible is, it's there. We can study it out. Let's stand to our feet. And we can read it. We can see. The psalmist said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm taking ownership of my own problems. Because I got a God that forgives me. I'm going to let God guide me day by day. Even if it's through a difficult path. And afterwards, I'm going to spend eternity with my Savior.